the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You may be seated. Well, it's true, the English love their animals. It's especially so of their dogs. I was forewarned of this phenomenon when I lived for a period in England while studying there. Sometimes parishioners would even bring their dogs to church. Relax, I'm not suggesting we do this here. I well remember a time, though, while sitting in church, I heard footsteps accompanied by a sound that only pause can make. The man and his dog sat down right in front of me as the Eucharist began. The dog was very well behaved. I watched the critter more than the vicar that day. And when it came time for communion, the man's dog accompanied him to the rail. I breathed a sigh of relief when the dog did not hold out its paw for the host. My mind did race to passages in the Bible about animals, like our epistle reading for this day on Trinity 4. In it, we are drawn to quite puzzling language when it comes to creation and the animal kingdom. It's in the verse, if you remember, "For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revelation of the sons of God," or the revealing of the sons of God. "For we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together with us until now." From Romans 8, verses 19 through 22. But let's not get ahead of ourselves in this passage. There is a context for St. Paul's comments about creation in the animal world. The context is about suffering as the children of God. In Romans 8, St. Paul talks primarily about an even larger subject, a contrast between walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and a life of living in the flesh. The struggle that this involves to win over the flesh is suffering. The life of a Christian interfaces with the call to suffer for righteousness at every turn, even in our last moments on earth. But as Christians, the good news is our suffering is never in vain. There is God's promise that He will work it out for the good. We have the hope that a better day is always coming for Christians, even if it means that day is the eighth day of eternity. It's in this context of hope, in suffering, that St. Paul turns to the creation itself as an example. It's as though, in his understanding, creation participates with humanity in the kingdom of God. The created and animal world suffers, but different from us, it's not their fault. Human sin in the garden brought horrible effects on creation. And in some sense, creation has suffered more than humans, especially animals. Many species in the animal kingdom have become extinct since humanity's fall into sin. Some scientists say as high as 94% of all animals have become extinct since the beginning of the world. St. Paul goes further in his comparison between human and animal suffering. He says creation has hope in some sense. The apostle says these words, "The creation waits eagerly for the revelation of the sons of God. The whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now." Now, the language that has caused theologians to wonder is how creation can, quote, "wait eagerly for the revelation of the sons of God and even suffer together with us until now." I mean, it seems creation has some kind of awareness that someday its suffering will end. It is somehow kind of cognizant. It even waits in anticipation for humanity to be fully restored, because this will mean resurrection and the restoration of all of creation. And in this is a kind of hope. Clearly, the prophet Isaiah spoke of a time when the lion would lay down with the lamb when God makes a new heaven and new earth. Conflict among the species will be overcome in this new heaven and new earth. According to St. Paul, God sees all of creation as participating in the final resurrection. The redemption of humans is not disconnected from the restoration of the physical world, including animals. Now, I know what you're wanting to ask me. Do all dogs go to heaven? Will I see my beloved pets again? Well, I wish so, but unfortunately, I can't answer these questions. What I can say is that all of creation participates with and in redemption and will clearly be part of the new heaven and new earth. St. Francis, a medieval monk, for example, spoke of the sun and the moon as his brother and sister. Now, he clearly did not use this language in some insipid New Age pantheistic sense that the created world is confused with God. He was much better than that. Rather, it was because of Romans 8:21 that he understood the creation as participating in God's redemptive plan. He thought the new heaven and earth began in seed form at the resurrection. So did many of the church fathers and even a Dutch theologian named Gerhardus Voss. The St. Paul says, the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Well, he speaks of all of creation as bringing glory to God. And as such, St. Francis believed the creation joins like brothers and sisters with us in glorifying God. So when we stand before God, all of creation joins with us. And in some sense, according to St. Francis, they're like brothers and sisters joining us in this great act of glorification. Well, C.S. Lewis went even further. He wrote a famous essay on our passage entitled On the Pain of Animals. He also corresponded with an American woman for 13 years. And in one of his letters, he makes a similar point to St. Paul. He writes, quote, I venture the supposal that as we are raised in Christ, so at least some animals are raised with us and in us. Who knows indeed, but that a great deal even of the inanimate creation is raised. That may be the way in which the new heaven and the new earth are formed, if we take seriously the resurrection of the body. Unquote. Well, Lewis's view is that of St. Paul. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there will be our final resurrection in Christ, along with the whole creation in the new heaven and new earth. But more to the point, if the creation in some sense realizes and hopes this to a lesser degree, so should we in an even greater way. Through belief in the resurrected Christ, we are to be taken to the final hope of our resurrection with the whole world. So simply put, it comes down to this. Christian hope is grounded in the idea that suffering and death will come to an end. Suffering does not have the last word. The resurrected Christ, he has the final say. In him is to be our hope in suffering. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, it's more blessed to give.